life when I do this.
Hmm?
Okay, I'm going to call the November meeting of the Mount Malin and Wetlands Commission to order. We have Commissioner LeClaire, Commissioner Rostoke, Mr. Obdake, Commissioner Occhilini, Commissioner Joe Berardi, and Commissioner Sandra Berardi, and Chairman Brush present. First order of business is to approve the minutes of the October 17th, 2024 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, Commissioner LeClaire made a motion. Commissioner Day seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, carry, and I abstain, so motion carries with six in favor, one abstention. Then next one is the approval of the minutes of the November 9th, 2024 site walk.
Make a motion to approve them.
You have a second?
Seconded.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, we have Commissioner Occhilini made a motion. Commissioner Rostow seconded it. All in favor?
Aye.
I abstain.
Sandra Berardi, did you? Commissioner Sandra Berardi, did you vote in favor?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, thanks. I didn't catch it. Okay, so, and I abstain. So, Commissioner, motion carries with four in favor and three abstentions. Next order of business, a public hearing. A public hearing is for 24 IWC 9, 226 to 228, Route 12, partial IDs 106-034-00, 106-036-00, 106-035-00, Unksville, Connecticut. Owner Samuels, Montville LLC. Applicant Honeycomb Real Estate Partners LLC for regular activities associated with the development of these parcels for a 57 unit multifamily residential project with parking and stormwater management features. We need to read the announcement. It's been so long since I did one.
So we need to make a motion to open the public hearing, and someone has to second it, then I'll do my staff report.
Okay.
The applicant.
You make a motion? We never made a motion, but we'll do it. Okay. Okay, then can I get a motion to open the public hearing?
So moved.
I second it.
Commissioner Obdake made a motion. Commissioner LeClaire seconded. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Carries unanimously. Great.
Okay. Stacy Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer for the record. This application is for regulated activities associated with the development of three parcels of land located on Route 32 and better known as 2268, 2280, and 2284 Route 32 for the construction of a 57-unit multifamily residential project with paved parking and stormwater management features. The applicant is seeking approval for 432 square feet of temporary and 636 square feet of permanent disturbance to an isolated inland wetland area associated with a stormwater outfall, along with 9,770 square feet of permanent disturbance in the associated upland review area. The applicant states that the wetland areas within 100 feet and streams within 200 feet of the study area were located and flagged by environmental consultant soil scientist Thomas Liddy of Lucas Environmental on July 19, 2024. The study area consists of three parcels totaling approximately 3.4 acres of land and broken down as follows. 1.43 acres, which makes up the southern half of the study area and now known as 2268 Route 32, parcel ID 106-034-000. 1.72 acres, which makes up the northern half of the study area and now known as 2284 Route 32, parcel ID 106-035-000. And 0.21 acres, which makes up the area between both of the aforementioned parcels and now known as 2280 Route 32, parcel ID 106-036-000. The applicant's soil scientist states that the wetlands located on site are at the bottom of a rocky hillside and were likely formed as a collection of surface outfall flows originating from an upgradient stormwater outfall located on Cedar Lane to the north of the proposed parcels. The applicant is proposing 432 square feet of temporary impacts to the wetlands relating to minor regrading to allow for off-site stormwater to enter a proposed drainage pipe, 636 square feet of permanent impacts of the wetlands resulting from the proposed construction of a retaining wall and a paved parking lot, and 9,770 square feet of disturbance in the upland review area for grading and additional drainage and paving associated with the proposed site improvements. The applicant's soil scientist states that it is his professional opinion that all of the proposed improvements to this site will correct a long-term drainage issue in this immediate neighborhood. This application and supporting documents have been referred to the town's soil scientist, and you can see attached comments dated October 17, 2024, November 14, 2024, and November 19, 2024, all in your packets and attached to my staff report, and all of those comments have been addressed. In 2007, the IWC approved application 207 IWC 42 for the filling of 1,500 square feet of wetlands located along the northern property line in conjunction with a proposal to construct a 14,700 square foot pharmacy and two 3,100 square foot restaurant and retail buildings. Certified soil scientist Richard Snarski concluded in his narrative of the 2007 application that he believed that the wetlands originated from road drainage from Cedar Lane. A site walk was conducted on November 9, 2024 by myself and members of the IWC, as well as attorney William Sweeney, Tom Liddy, wetland scientist for Lucas Environmental, Lewis Brown, and Steve Caprio from Honeycomb Realty on behalf of the applicant. And attorney Bill Sweeney is here on behalf of the applicant to answer any questions the commission may have.
Okay, before you start, I just want to make a comment. Just because I know several members have not been through public hearing before. It's a public hearing. When we make a decision, either way, we can only consider stuff presented at the public hearing. So if you asked a question last time when you were here, it doesn't get addressed now, you got to re-ask the question. We can only consider what occurs, and once the hearing is closed, you can't take any more information. So that's just for everybody's information. So
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that. Bit of direction as well. Good evening, everyone. My name is Bill Sweeney. I'm a land use attorney and a partner at the law firm of Tobin Carberry in New London, and it's great to be back here tonight. I appear before you on behalf of my client, Honeycomb Real Estate Partners, LLC, which has applied for the approval of limited regulated activities associated with a new 57-unit multifamily residential development to be located on parcels of land, three of them, at 2268 through 2284 Route 32 here in Uncasville. I know your staff did a very comprehensive report. I may be somewhat repetitive tonight. I'd ask you to bear with me. As I explained at last month's meeting, Honeycomb is an investor and a developer of affordable and mixed income housing projects. They're based in Avon, Connecticut. And joining me tonight is Lewis Brown. Lewis is a principal of Honeycomb. I also have Tom Liddy, who is our project wetland scientist with Lucas Environmental. And Roy Smith, who was not able to join us last month because of an illness, is here. He's the project civil engineer with RJ O'Connell and Associates. Last month, we actually went through this entire application. And at the conclusion of the meeting, the commission, while not making a finding of significant impact, did decide to hold this public hearing on this application in the, quote, public interest, which is permitted by your regulations and state law. Subsequent to that decision, as Ms. Radford indicated, we did have a site walk on the property earlier this month, and we wanted to thank the members who were able to attend and were able to view the wetlands area and the proposed limited impact. Tonight,
despite the fact that we made our presentation, we are required by law to build a record of this proceeding, and so we will be re-presenting our application to you, and we're going to do that in the context of the public hearing. We're going to try to be brief and hit the highlights and then leave time for questions from the commission and potentially members of the public. There's obviously going to be some repetition tonight, but we will have some new testimony as well, including responses to the comments that the town engineer provided immediately before the last meeting. And we've had time to respond to those, and as Ms. Radford indicated, not only have we responded, but your town engineering staff and soil scientists have reviewed our responses and have signed off on all outstanding issues. Tonight, I'm going to review, again, the background of the project and basic project layout. Mr. Liddy is going to discuss his work assessing the small, isolated wetland at the north edge of the property, the extremely limited functional value of that wetland, and the evaluation of the potential impact to this resource area as a result of the project. Mr. Smith's going to walk you through the details of our site plan layout. He's going to talk about grading, drainage, utilities, and the engineering details for the project and in relation to the wetland impact. And then I'll come back with some concluding remarks, ask you to close the public hearing tonight after the public portion of the evening, and then take action on the application with an approval. So just to begin with some background, as I mentioned before, we've got a plan of the site up in front of you right now. The project site is located on three parcels of land westerly of Route 32, directly across from the intersection of Fort Shantock Road. Over a decade ago, as Ms. Radford indicated, the site was proposed and approved for a pharmacy development that never actually materialized. And while it's not binding on your action tonight, it should be noted and acknowledged that this same commission reviewed that project, a project that approved filling the entire wetland. That's not what we're proposing. But the commission back in 2007 actually approved its complete filling as a part of that pharmacy project. As I said before, the proposal before you tonight consists of a 57-unit, four-story mixed-income apartment development that we're calling Horizon View. It's going to include 25 one-bedroom and 32 two-bedroom apartments. The building itself is designed as Energy Star Emerald compliant. It's going to have a variety of energy-efficient features, high-efficiency HVAC, a superior insulated building envelope, and we'll have solar panels on its roof. Primary access, as shown on our plan, is directly across the street from Fort Shantock Road, and there is paved surface parking for residents, a total of 132 spaces. Those spaces will be provided in front of the building and to the east, north, and west of the building, along with access around the building for emergency vehicles. As we're going to discuss later, I think Mr. Smith will touch on, that amount of parking and the emergency access around the building is dictated by the town's zoning regulations. The site is served by public water and sanitary sewer. We're going to be using the rear of the site for stormwater management, not only to deal with the water coming off our site, but the water that's coming from the town drainage system pouring onto our property. And Mr. Smith will detail that in his presentation as well. Along the very northern edge of the site, and those of you who are on the site walk know it very well now after sort of traipsing through the woods to get there, along the northern edge of the site is a small, isolated wetland. It's fed by a town drainage outfall up gradient and off the site, which Mr. Liddy will discuss in greater detail. This wetland and its upland review area will be impacted by the development in the form of regulated activities, and as Ms. Radford indicated, we're proposing 432 square feet of temporary and 636 square feet of permanent disturbance, as well as work in the associated upland review area. And finally, as we discussed at the last meeting, these regulated activities within this previously disturbed and low-value wetland system, they do not constitute a significant impact under your regulations, but we are here tonight to talk about the application in a public setting to give opportunity to the members of the public to address any concerns they have on wetland issues. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Liddy to go briefly through his presentation, and then we'll hear from Mr. Smith. Thank you.
Uh, Good evening. For the record, my name is Tom Liddy, professional wetland scientist and soil scientist from Lucas Environmental. As you know, I was retained by the applicant to delineate wetland resource areas occurring on and near the property. As a result, I identified a small geographically isolated wetland located along the northern property line, identified in the field and on the plan as Wetland A. Upon further review and investigation, it appears that this wetland likely formed from the accumulation of stormwater, which originated from the stormwater outfall we've been discussing, which drains a large area of the Cedar Lane neighborhood. For those that were with us at the site visit last Saturday, we located the outfall, and we followed an eroded channel down the hillside. When we get to the bottom of the hill, the water just fans out. It's very well-drained soil. The water infiltrates and settles any accumulated sediment. We observe scour channels, and as I was augering, showing you soils, I was digging through several feet of accumulated sediment. Within the context of the wetland perimeter is shallow and poorly defined. And the perimeter is vegetated with a number of different invasive species, specifically Phragmites. As mentioned, this wetland review, wetland delineation was peer reviewed by your soil scientist and consultant, and they concurred with our delineation. They just had some questions on, why is there so much Phragmites? And I reiterated in our response to comments that in settings like this, where there is a lot of invasive species, we delineate primarily based on the presence of hydric soil indicators. So it's not uncommon to encounter invasive species such as Phragmites outside of a delineated boundary. It's pretty typical for that kind of setting. And ultimately, the peer reviewer did concur with our delineation as well as functional assessment. So for those that were at the site walk, I talked a little bit about the water, the hydrology, what's driving this wetland. This is not a wetland that is really aquatic in nature, meaning there's not a lot of storage of surface water. This does not provide breeding for amphibians or other wetland-dependent wildlife. This appears to just be a low area which has been accumulating stormwater runoff for several decades. So there are no other wetland resource areas in the property. There's no floodplain, no rare species habitat. In this site does not overlay a drinking water aquifer. Roy will get into the proposed design, but I just wanted to touch on the proposed wetland impacts. Basically, any development of this property would have to deal with the stormwater runoff coming from the adjacent neighborhood. So what we're proposing to do is, one, remove the accumulated sediment, which, as you saw, it was up to 3 feet, and it varies in location, but it's several feet. So no matter what, that sediment accumulated, sediment that has accumulated would have to be removed, resulting in at least temporary impacts to the entire wetland. So what we're proposing to do is install a head wall, which will collect and convey that stormwater into a proposed detention basin. So we're not eliminating any water. We're not redirecting it. We're directing it into a stormwater basin, which, in my opinion, is a benefit, an improvement over existing conditions, because it will be treated and stored and maintained by the property owner. So although the wetland's being modified, the water isn't, and it's just being relocated to a detention basin. So in that sense, the function that's there now will be essentially replicated in this detention basin. However, I feel it's an improvement since it's actually going to be maintained. Any sediment will be cleaned out and so forth. The area of the impacted wetland, or the temporary impact, will be seeded with a wetland seed mix, and there'll be a collection of native shrub species planted along the edge of the wetland. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Roy to give an overview of proposed conditions. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Roy Smith. I work for R.J. O'Connell & Associates. I am a partner with R.J. O'Connell & Associates, and we are the site civil engineers on the project. I have a handout here that I'd like to pass out to the board, which, as they say, it just says 1,000 words.
Mr. Chairman, we've just asked that it be added to the exhibit.
presentation, I'll point you to certain pages of that Exhibit A as part of that presentation. All the documents that I just handed out are in our submittal package to associated with the inland wetlands application. So it's nothing that's brand new and not already submitted to the board or reviewed by the peer review consultant. I'm going to review three general categories. I'm going to give you a more detailed project description of the site, and then I'm going to get into existing and proposed drainage patterns within the site and reiterate some of the concerns and items that Tom and Bill already talked about. And then the final item that I'll review is some of our engineering response to comments to the peer review consultant's comments in closing. In general, the site that, which, as was already mentioned, consists of three parcels, all under common ownership. So the three parcels will end up being combined as part of the overall project. The site is at a signalized intersection. The proposed access is turning that T intersection here into an actually four-way signalized intersection with a 30-foot access drive, and then the associated four-story building with 57 residential units and the associated parking, drainage, and utilities around the facility. As was mentioned previously, with the detention basins and infiltration basins, which I'll get into a little bit more detail in a little bit, are located along the back of the property, and that's more from a grading and drainage and buffer perspective, just to match the existing drainage patterns. From an existing drainage pattern perspective, there's two what they refer to as watershed areas. So if rain starts falling, there's the site watershed area, which is about 3.4 acres, and then there's this off-site drainage watershed area, which consists of about 16 acres, and this is the Cedar Lane drainage discharge pipe that was previously referenced. What I'd like to point you to is, if you flip to the third and fourth page of that 11 by 17, you'll see some photos. And photos 1 through 4 basically show the existing catch basins and that drainage outlet. It's a 15-inch drainage outlet from those three series of catch basins and the drainage outlet that you see there. It's a corrugated metal pipe that's sticking out of the cross slope of that existing rock wall. And then if you flip the page even further, what you'll see is some photos showing the actual degree of sediment built up in the existing wetlands area. As you can see, and as was mentioned previously, it could be up to the point of 3 feet in depth of accumulated sediment that has built up over the years. We were the previous engineers on the 2007 application as well. And like was mentioned before, under that application, it was a proposed pharmacy and then some other a restaurant and whatnot. That entire wetland system was supposed to be permanently impacted under that application, which this board approved. And in this application, there's a little bit of a change to that. We're able to impact the entire wetlands, but we're going to do a temporary disturbance, and then there's a permanent disturbance, which I'll get into a little bit later. The bottom photos 7 and 8 are basically one of the drainage key components of the proposed drainage system. As I was mentioning earlier, and I'm going to try to be brief, the existing drainage pattern flows from north to south, both the site, 3.5 acres, and the off-site. So the 15-inch pipe is up here and falls onto our site. In the previous application, we had to impact that wetlands because we had a drive-through associated with the pharmacy and whatnot. But in regardless of the development area, we have to divert that off-site drainage area coming from the Cedar Lane neighborhood. So in order to do that, we had to construct a head wall along the drainage system. So the sequence of events that I envision happening is The sediment has to get dug out of the existing wetland system. So as Tom was mentioning earlier, that's a temporary disturbance of the entire wetlands. Then we install this drainage headwall and a new drainage pipe that reroutes that off-site drainage to an off-site detention basin, which is located here. The on-site drainage is collected through a closed drainage system consisting of catch basins, drain manholes, water quality units, infiltration system, and its own on-site detention basin. And it all flows to mimic the existing conditions of the site, which flow from north to south on the property. With that said, we had to design the drainage system for both the off-site drainage system and the on-site. That's the reason why we have two detention basins on site. Right now, the off-site drainage is not treated, not detained, and is obviously creating a mitigation / flooding issue on our property that's contributed from the upstream watershed from the public drainage system off of Cedar Lane. As Tom was mentioning earlier, we're diverting that, catching that via this headwall construction, and diverting that through a closed drainage system into the off-site detention basin. Then it has an outlet structure, and then so forth and so on. Bottom line is we had to design the stormwater management system to meet the stormwater management, the Connecticut Stormwater Management Manual, both from a peak flow and volume perspective. So what you see here on the first page of this is that point of analysis, which the point of analysis is on the southern edge of the property line. And we analyzed four different storm events, the 2, 10, 25, and 100-year storm events. And we did the existing analysis versus the proposed analysis with the proposed detention basins, and there's a large subsurface infiltration system, which I'll get into a little bit. As you can see, there's a reduction in both peak flows and volumes in all storm events. And it's pretty considerable in the lower storm events. And then for the 100-year storm event, it's a 2% reduction. And that meets the requirements of the Connecticut Stormwater Manual. With that said, one of the key components is we have a large subsurface infiltration field. And for if you could envision, if you're familiar with the septic system for sewage disposal, it's the same aspect of a septic system field for leaching your sewage, but it's for drainage. It's not for sewage, obviously. And it's a lot larger than a septic system for a residential property and whatnot. That subsurface drainage system, and I think it is that those photos 7 and 8, which is on page 3. It's a corrugated metal pipe system. There's 11 rows. It's 48 inches in diameter. So it's fairly large. So in order to mitigate the proposed development, including the off-site drainage system, we had to install this subsurface infiltration system and the two detention basins in order to meet the peak flows and volume reductions required by us, by the stormwater policy. With that said, the last thing we kind of went through is we received some responses or comments from the peer review consultant. One of the comments pertained to the infiltration rate associated with the infiltration system. What they said, we anticipated an exfiltration rate or an infiltration rate. If you pour water on the soil, if it's sandy, it doesn't even hold it. It goes right down into the ground and recharges the soil. That's the subsurface. They made us cut that rate in half. So what that made us do is increase the surface area of that subsurface infiltration basin. So we did that. We responded to that comment, and it was addressed by your peer review consultant. The last comment is they also asked us to go into a little bit of an alternatives analysis to show minimization of any impacts. And as Tom was mentioning and Bill was mentioning, it's not only the permanent and temporary impacts, but it's the quality of the wetlands and the functions of the wetlands that is being impacted. I think that's a key component to that, because if you have a pristine wetlands, the alternatives analysis really makes sense. But in this case, we don't have a pristine wetlands. The functions and values of the wetlands, and Tom can go into it in a little bit more detail, are poor from a functioning value. It doesn't have aquatic wildlife. It's basically a drainage ditch is what we're looking at, and it has, over the years, it's grown up and it has some wetlands vegetation in it. And so we did some alternatives analysis, and the bottom line is with the alternatives analysis that we looked at the no-impact alternative and then the reduced-impact alternative. In both cases, we felt that it didn't meet the requirements of the project. And in particular, it doesn't allow emergency access around the building for circulation and emergency vehicles, fire trucks and whatnot. It would push that roadway into the building footprint, so thereby eliminating and making it a one-way, so not full access around the building for emergency vehicles. And then it would have a loss of parking as well associated with both alternatives that we looked at, which would put us under the required parking by zoning. So in that case, that's why we're going in front of this board and asking for the preferred alternative with the permanent and temporary impacts. With that said, I think we'll turn it over to Bill. And
thanks, Roy. Just a few more comments, and then we can turn it back to the commission. Obviously, we want to thank you for your time and attention, not just this evening, but at the site walk and at last month's meeting on this application. After the end of the public portion of tonight's hearing, I would ask you to close this hearing and take affirmative action on the application. My client is seeking state financing for this project and is facing a deadline at the end of December for an application. They are also currently pending before the Planning and Zoning Commission. We're scheduled to be heard at the December 10th meeting next month. In your job tonight, though, in making the determination on our permit, you are empowered to take into account the relative facts and circumstances, as well as the testimony provided to you by our expert team. And I think, as appropriately commented by your chairman, you're limited in your decision-making to what's in the record. And the record is the totality of what we've presented to you in this public hearing format, the application materials, the letters, the correspondence, and the testimony that you've heard tonight. While the wetland on this property will be impacted, this commission should consider its very small size, its extremely limited functional value, and the significant previous disturbance. As you've heard tonight, this wetland is essentially a drainage ditch for the neighborhood to the north and the roadways in that neighborhood, all of which that dump town stormwater onto this property, and I would note without a drainage easement. This is not a pristine natural wetland, that provides really valuable functional value. Under Section 10.2 of your regulations, it lays out criteria that you're to use in determining whether to approve an application. You're to consider the environmental impact of the activities. You're supposed to look at feasible and prudent alternatives, which we have, and your engineering team has signed off on. You're to look at the relationship between temporary and permanent impacts, the extent of wetland loss, the character and degree of injury or interference with the safety, health, or reasonable use of the property, and finally, measures used to mitigate impact. And certainly, our impact today is less than the impact that this same commission approved in 2007. In this particular case, I would submit to you that our proposed activities and the anticipated impacts are narrowly tailored, they're carefully designed, and we've really limited them in a prudent and feasible manner to allow my client reasonable use of the property for what we think is a really exciting project for the community. Consequently, I would submit to you that my client's entitled to an approval tonight as a matter of law. We certainly would love to have your support this evening. Thank you again for having us. We're available if you have any questions, and I would reserve the right of rebuttal. Thank you.
Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, I do. I just want to confirm on page 5 of the memo report from Lucas Environmental dated September 19th, 2024. 4.0 conclusion, bullet 3. It states the wetland does provide valuable aquatic plant or animal life and habitats, nor does it prevent flooding, protect supply, water, assimilate waste, facilitate drainage, or provide recreation or open space or other functions. I want to confirm that's a typo. You're missing not, or does it actually provide valuable aquatic plant or animal life and habitats?
I'll let Mr. Liddy respond to your question.
Yep.
I have that right here. That is a typo.
Okay.
Unfortunately. Apologize for that. It should say does not provide.
Okay.
Valuable aquatic plant or animal life.
Thank you.
Good catch.
I have another question, if that's all right. So it's been dry here, and I'm not sure when you started the project or when you've done all the site walks today. First rain in like 90 days, right? Have you been out there in the spring? Any impacts in the spring, differences in habitat protection with spring runoff, snow melt, et cetera?
I have not been out in the spring. When I delineated the wetland, it was July of this year,
mm-hmm.
And it was dry, obviously. In terms of, I talk a lot about functional assessment and how I came to that conclusion. If it was, I'm sure in the springtime or after today, there's going to be water running down that channel down the hillside, and it's going to hit the bottom of the slope and just dissipate out. When we look at what this wetland does, we look at other indicators like water staining or topography. You know, if it's like a well-defined basin that's quite large, that looks like it can hold water for a sustained period of time, like 2-3 months at a time, that's when we start to think about, well, what can this wetland be used for? Specifically, especially in the springtime, if it was a vernal pool per se, that it has the hydroperiod to sustain a breeding cycle, there'd be indicators of that, the physical nature of the wetland. It would be, you know, first it would be very deep, you know, several feet deep. It'd be wide, you'd see water staining. In this wetland we have here, there's no real basin. It's all very flat. There's not well-defined topography around it. So for that reason, and with the proximity to the stormwater outfall, one could reasonably conclude that this water just is washing down this hillside and spreading out like a fan. And so where the water first hits, where you get, you know, like a two-year storm or less, the more frequent, less inputs of water, you know, that ground would probably soak that up pretty quickly. So we don't see indicators of prolonged inundation or other indicators that would suggest that this is an important feature for, say, breeding amphibians and stuff like that. So,
thank you.
Okay.
Anybody else have questions?
I have a couple more.
Keep going.
All right. So you mentioned that sediment accumulation is an existing problem at the site. Can you discuss how the plans you have will address if this continues, or are you, how are you going to work with that?
That's a very good question. We have developed an operation and maintenance, drainage maintenance program, and your peer review consultant that reviewed the drainage asked us to look at this sediment in the long term. And what we've decided to do is not only install the head wall with the 18-inch drainage pipe that reroutes the drainage to the detention basin, but at the base of that head wall and 18-inch pipe, we have installed a drain manhole with a beehive frame and grate. So any sediment that does accumulate in the future, it would be collected in that drain manhole, and that drain manhole is part of the long-term pollution prevention plan of the drainage system.
Okay.
So hopefully that addresses
that does, you. Yeah, thank you. I have another question. You might be the one to answer it. So I know the guidelines that you have to follow go up to a 100-year flood, but that's not going to, maybe that's the guidelines, but it's not reality. Moving forward, we'll have more intense precipitation events as we've seen in our state just this summer alone. So how does the site hold up I mean, have you run any analysis for how the site holds up in the 500-year, 1,000-year flood events? Because it looks like it could be creating a runway to impact Galvin and Meadow Lanes just downstream of that.
We have not analyzed unknown storm events. The storm events that we did analyze, the four storm events, the 2-10, 25-year, and 100-year storm, the precipitation values are given to us based on the Connecticut Stormwater Manual. We're not required to analyze like this. For instance, like the Cornell rate, which is a higher rate of precipitation. So we have not analyzed those.
Okay.
Well, I have a slightly different set of questions. My question is, what's the condition of the water flowing off the site versus the condition that currently is? Because it sounds like you're saying that the drainage dissipates on the site, yet you've got another Exhibit A, which says there's a change in what's going off the site. So I'm curious, what is the change? Because I see there's a lot of unpaved areas. So are you trying to absorb it all, or just?
Roy, you can answer that.
Yeah.
So beyond the peak flows and volume reduction, we have a quality reduction as well. I mean, a quality increase. So right now, the runoff from the offsite catch basins and drainage pipe go untreated. We're collecting that in its own off-site detention basin, and it has an outlet structure. The on-site actually drainage is collected through a treatment train, which consists of the catch basins with deep hoods and sump. That's our first treatment part of the treatment train. Then it goes into what I refer to as water quality units, like a water technics unit. It takes out additional sediment. But the primary treatment of the on-site drainage system is the infiltration basin. The infiltration basin actually stores water, and it's approximately 2 feet of storage underneath the outlet pipe. So lower storm events, there is no drainage that comes through and discharges to the detention basin. So the treatment drain is a closed drainage system, goes through the water quality into the infiltration basin, and then from the infiltration basin, it goes to the detention basin, and then out through what they refer to as, we designed a, what they refer to as a level spreader, which dissipates the water, is the ultimate drainage discharge pipe to mimic the existing conditions. It's called a level spreader. It's a long, like half moon pipe that you create in the field, and rather than having a point source discharge, it spills over it, so it reduces the velocity and scouring velocities of the outlet pipe. Hopefully, I don't know if that hopefully answered your question.
Well, I guess the other question I have is, do you have oil separation or anything like that in there for when?
Yeah, then that's the primary function of the water quality units.
Okay.
The vortex units. So in the deep hoods and sumps, the hood collects all the oils that flow in the drainage system. So that's kind of your first catchment of any oils. Then your second catchment is the water quality structure. And it's referred to as total suspended solids removal rates. And that total suspended solid removal rate, you get a certain credit for catch basin with deep hood and sump, you get a credit for the water quality units, and then you get a big credit for both phosphorus and nitrogen removal from your infiltration basin. Infiltration is your primary treatment from stormwater, not detention. Detention is more from a peak flow and a volume reduction, but your treatment really comes from infiltration,
okay,
in which we have a big infiltration system.
Roy, would it be fair to say, Roy, that both the quality and quantity of stormwater is positively impacted at the end of the day from this site as a result of our project?
Yes, I would say that.
Great, and I'm asking that because while the wetland that's on the site has pretty low quality, I guess that's a polite way to say it, immediately downstream is a really large well-developed wetland.
Down near the
So I don't want to have a, I would be concerned about having a lot of garbage going into it. And you're saying it's an 18-inch pipe, the one from Chesterfield Lane, is or whatever it's called?
Cedar.
Cedar Lane is that's 15-inch pipe.
15-inch pipe, and so we're making able to take an 18-inch pipe.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. Okay. Does anybody from the public want to make a comment on this application? It is a public hearing. We have members of the public.
I have a question.
If you want to, you have to come up here. Mm-hmm. You have to state your name and your address. That's all.
My name is Michael Yost. I own the property directly adjacent to this project, Yost Holdings.
Excuse me. Just need where you live, your address, that's all.
My name is Michael Yost, and I live in Groton, Connecticut.
Wait, thanks.
I have a question with water runoff from the property going south since it's a sloped hill, and I actually just wanted to see. I understand very much what you're talking about, how you're holding the water into the property. It's no different than what I had to do. But I want to make sure there's no runoff coming to my property, which is directly next to me.
Yeah, so this was obviously a key design element, and we've heard testimony tonight from Mr. Smith that not only is the water that's coming down off the hill, but the water that we're creating in our project, we are taking it and holding it and infiltrating it on our site. So there'll actually be less water tomorrow after the project than there is today coming to the south on your property. And what water still gets there through, you know, large-scale rain will be cleaner than it is today. So we're actually taking water. We're fixing the town's drainage problem on our property because it's dumping water on our property. We're picking it up at our cost. We're dealing with it. But we're also dealing with all the water from our site itself. And so that was the town's peer review. That was the preliminary design is you've got to show us that at the south property line next to Mr. Yost's property that the water is less and cleaner. And that's what we've done, and we have a sign-off from the town engineer on that specific point.
That was my only question.
Thank you for coming out. We appreciate it.
Any other questions or remarks in the public? Any other questions or remarks in the public? Any other questions or remarks from the public? Do you have any other information?
I have no additional information. If the commission has nothing else to ask, then we would need to close the public hearing, and you can make your deliberation.
Mr. Chairman, I would just remind you, and I think you said it before, is once you close the public hearing, we can't answer any more questions from you. Mm-hmm. So if there are any other questions that a commissioner has or concerns or things to clarify before you close it, you've got to make sure that we have, you ask us now. Because even if you want to, I can't stand up and share it, talk to you after you close it.
I would ask, were there any observations or remarks from those who went on the site walk?
It was very good to go to that site walk because it gave us a lot of information, and I agree it's a drainage ditch.
Okay. Anybody else have anything? Going once. Okay, then I would like to ask for a motion to close the public hearing.
I make a motion to close the public hearing.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries unanimously. Keep losing my agendas. All right. Okay. There it is. I've been writing on it. Okay. We can do one of two things. We can discuss it now and come to a decision, or we could take a motion to move it to later in the meeting if people want to think about it a little longer. If you feel they're ready to make a decision, we can go with that now. So we're at the part of discussing 24 IFC 9. People ready to make a decision?
And I'd just like to say, if the commission so chooses, there is a motion for approval in your packet. If the commission chooses a denial, you do need to state your reasons for denial on the record.
Just go ahead and give it. Yeah, just go ahead and give it.
Then the motion.
I'll make the motion. After giving due consideration to all relevant factors, including those in Section 10 and/or Section 6 of the Model Inland Wetlands and Watercourse Regulations, in Section 22A-41 of the Connecticut General Statutes, I move to approve application number 24 IWC 9-owner Samuels Montville LLC applicant Honeycomb Real Estate Partners LLC for regulated activities associated with the development of the parcels for the 57-unit multi-family residential project with parking and stormwater management features. Per the application and associated documents dated September 25th, 2024, standard reasons for approval and standard conditions of approval apply.
Second.
I'll second it. Oh,
he beat you to it. That's okay.
Sorry.
Any discussion? Okay, I'll just remark, you know, on the record that it seems to meet the requirements for approval, and I don't see any real issues with it. I don't see any feasible alternative. So, yeah. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yep. Hope you have a great rest of your night.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We shall cause hearings. Any remarks from the public relating on items not relating to from the public on items not relating to items on the agenda? Any remarks from the public relating to items not on the agenda? Any remarks from the public relating not relating to items on the agenda? Okay, old business, none. New business, 24 IFC 10, 958 Route 163, Montville, Connecticut, owner TACT Holdings, LLC applicant, Nevar Company, / Dean Fisk, for no regulated activities associated with the proposed one-lot re-subdivision.
Thank you. Again, Stacy Radford, Zoning and Wetlands Officer for the record. This site consists of approximately 30.66 acres located in the R120 zoning district with approximately 969 feet of frontage on Route 163. The applicant states that the site contains approximately 1.62 acres of wetlands delineated on January 26, 2023 in a site visit by James M. McManus of JMM Wetland Consulting Services, LLC. This property is currently developed with a single-family residence, detached garage, and associated site improvements, including an on-site well and septic. The property to be re-subdivided is shown on a plan entitled Proposed One-Lot Re-Subdivision of 958 Route 163, Parcel ID 046-008-000, Oakdale, Connecticut, prepared for the Navar Company, 677 South Main Street, Cheshire, Connecticut, and prepared by Soli Engineers, dated September 30th, 2024. There is no regulated upland or wetland activity proposed as part of this development. The applicant presented a similar application to this commission, who forwarded a favorable recommendation to the Planning and Zoning Commission on August 21st, 2023. The applicant withdrew its prior application to the Planning and Zoning Commission and has since changed the configuration of the lots and is therefore resubmitting to this commission for a favorable recommendation with regard to the revised division of land. The applicant proposes to subdivide this property to create two lots, one to be called out as Lot 1 and the other as lot number two. Lot one will be approximately 12.187 acres, 530,872 square feet, and will be comprised of existing single-family residence, associated driveway, septic system, and well service. Lot number two will be approximately 18.470 acres, 804,538 square feet, and currently consists of an existing farmland and wooded undeveloped land. The proposed use of this lot is for a 0.999 MW solar photovoltaic array, which has been approved by the Connecticut Siting Council under petition number 1601. There is a proposed culvert in the state right-of-way and within the 50-foot upland review area, which also received prior approval from the Connecticut Siting Council. The applicant states in part, a site visit was conducted on January 26, 2023 by James M. McManus of JMM Wetland Consulting Services, LLC. According to his observations, wetlands were found in the northwest portion of the property and at the southeastern boundary between the property and Route 163, approximately 900 linear feet from the existing dwelling and 580 linear feet from the existing dwelling, respectfully. The site consists of approximately 1.62 acres of on-site wetland area. The applicant further states, all proposed work will be outside of the existing on-site wetlands and associated regulated buffers. The proposed solar panels are approximately 310 feet away from the closest on-site wetland adjacent to Route 163. My comments are as follows. First, the full site has not been delineated. And secondly, I'm asking that the applicant revise their inland wetland application, which was received on October 23rd, 2024, as follows. Section 8, under other information, number 7, the Department of Transportation permit is required as Route 163 is a state road. Details on the plan indicate that an encroachment permit was obtained on September 3rd, 2024, so the applicant must reflect this as yes being required. And the final plan shall be signed and sealed by a land surveyor and soil scientist. Plan has been signed, but no seals were present. And the applicant is here if the commission has any questions.
So this is all for those panels as you're coming down Chesterfield Road and to the dump?
No.
Same thing, but this is a different location. Yeah.
Different location?
Yeah.
Yes. Those ones are in.
This is up where Raymond Hill meets 163 on the other side.
Okay.
Past the dog park.
Mm-hmm.
Will there be any drainage have to be installed as part of this?
Let me switch this because I had a whole presentation, but I can't
okay,
talk that. So let me switch to because that was the existing plan, so I can show you the potential development plan here.
And if you don't mind, once you're all set, just state your name.
Yep.
On the record, thank you.
So for the record, my name is Casey Birch. I'm a project engineer for Soli Engineering, and we are the engineering firm involved with the solar project, as well as the re-subdivision that we're trying to do here for our applicant, the Navarre Company. To answer your question, actually, let me take this. So we've already gone through Siting Council. We've already got an approval with Siting Council. We have a petition number. All that stuff's on the Siting Council website for anybody's review. This gray, you can see the grayish hatch area here. That's the solar panel area, and it's roughly 5 acres or so. And our subdivision is for the lot two. We're requesting it to be subdivided for 12 acres here and 12.187 acres here, and for lot one, lot two is the 18.47 acres. The lot one is the 12.187 acres. Lot two is where the solar panels will reside. The house we're maintaining, the barn we're maintaining, that whole property, we provided an additional 10 acres, provided the 10 acres for the home to keep, and the rest will be for the solar project. And it's the similar layout to last time. We have that kind of unorthodox strip up here, and then this area back here that is going to be part of lot one. So we have a 20-foot wide strip connecting that. The solar project didn't need it. The owner of the property was maybe someday would like to put a barn in a small area, but obviously if that ever happened, they'd have to come back in front of the Wetland Commission and planning and zoning. And I believe the last time I was here, one of your comments was to add this note here, which we kept on this plan as well, which I can read into record. Any proposed activity in the rear westerly portion of the proposed lot one will require further wetland investigation and review and approval by the Montville Wetland Enforcement Officer and or Montville Inland Wetlands and Water Course Commission. JMM Associates delineated the wetlands through here, but they didn't go beyond and delineate the other portion of it. We do not plan to develop back there. I do know the last time we came here, I did look at the Connecticut Eco, and it did show a finger of some sort here, and it came out to be like 1.55 acres, but again, that's, you know, that you can't really, you know, follow that because it is just LIDAR information and reporting on the existing soils there. So this is all we delineated. We didn't need to go any further because we weren't developing anything back there. And again, we added that note just in case we do decide to in the future. It would be probably somewhere in here, and we'll come back to this board to do so with further information if necessary. So back to your question, if you don't mind repeating it.
How wide is that access?
This is 20 feet, yeah. The same as the last time.
So my question on it is, are you going to have to do any drainage work where those panels are? Is there going to be any
creation
of any, because if you dig a drainage ditch, you're creating a water course, which is really the activity. So that's my question.
Right.
Are
so
you doing that?
So there is this general area flows this way. We are providing a infiltration detention basin here. There is a swale within the property beside the panels that also collects, but all that goes into this basin here, and then there's outlets to, like, right around here to the south. This whole property is gated per solar requirements for a 7-foot high chain link fence. But yeah, that all went through the process. That all got reviewed by the siting council and was approved as well.
What I'm saying is, if you're doing it, you're creating a water course, which is regular activity.
Oh no, we're not creating.
Water isn't going to flow in it.
We're creating an infiltration basin.
But the swale.
Yeah, the swale is it's I believe it's just a grass-lined swale. It's not going to. It has a slope for the required velocity, so it'll never really accumulate or anything like that, where it would be create like any wetland vegetation within it and stuff like that. So it's just a grassline swale, just typical drainage swale. And I did highlight, this is the other pocket wetland that was mentioned earlier. It's about 0.07 acres. We are outside with the access to the solar array is set back about, I think, 60 to 70 feet off the wetland. So it is outside the 50-foot buffer. We are not doing any work within that. Even the grades are outside that.
Okay.
was just the portion of land above the pink, the lot one that's not to be developed, that showed up on the
yeah, the
endangered species database. And
oh, no, the so Connecticut Eco also has a database for rough wetlands, and
mm-hmm.
they go by the soil survey mapping.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a specific soil that is typically a wetland soil. So they have that outline, but that's done years ago by geologists and stuff like that. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not that accurate, which is why I didn't want to portray anything, but I did want to let you guys know that there is some sort of finger going up through here like this. But if we ever did anything back here, which we couldn't get to anyway because we're cut off by the wetlands, so that's another reason why we didn't waste the resources to further investigate back there.
Any other questions? So you're saying they need a stamp, right? They need a stamp added to their plan, correct?
A seal.
Yep, just a seal to it. So they would get us an updated copy of the plan, and they would revise the application.
Mm-hmm.
So, anybody have any other issues with this?
Not quite.
A motion to send a favorable report to the Planning and Zoning Commission.
We can do that without it, with the additional information needed.
Yes.
Because then it has to get presented.
Everybody else wants to? I can try and make the motion.
There is a motion in your packet.
I don't even know where my packet is.
I'll do it. After giving due consideration to all relevant factors, including those in the Connecticut General Statutes, Section 8-26, applications involving an inland wetlands or watercourse, Moffitt Subdivision Regulation, Section 3.4.2, Wetlands Agency Referral in CGS Chapter 440, Sections 22A-28 to 22A-45D, Wetlands and Watercourses, I move that the Commission forward a favorable recommendation report to the Moffitt Planning and Zoning Commission for application number 24, IWC 10, submitted by applicant, the Nevar Company, owner TA Connecticut Holdings, LLC, for a one-lot re-subdivision of 958 Route 163. 046-008-000 Oakdale, Connecticut, as more fully described in the application and supporting documents dated 10/23/2024, and a plan entitled Proposed One Lot Resubdivision of 958 Route 163, parcel ID 046-008-000, Oakdale, Connecticut, prepared for the Nevar Company, 677 South Main Street, Cheshire, Connecticut, and prepared by Soli Engineering, dated September 30th, 2004, due to no regulated activities.
Second. Can I get an amendment to that to say on the condition that the plan is also sealed by a land surveyor and soil scientist?
That's what,
so moved.
I'll add it.
Okay.
Yep.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Carries unanimously.
Thank you very much.
Next one is the approval of our schedule for next year. We don't interfere with Thanksgiving next year. I don't know when Thanksgiving is next year.
It should, but I'll check.
That's usually the problem.
Thanksgiving will be the following 27th. Week.
Yep. Okay.
The only date that did interfere as the third Thursday would be June 19th, which is Juneteenth, which is now considered a town holiday, and town hall will be closed. Therefore, I did go ahead and just change that to June the 12th.
Yeah, that's all right.
Cool.
It's fine.
We change it to the 26th. Is there a problem with that with anybody? Or with the town? I just have another meeting that is the second Thursday of the month. If not, that's the way it goes.
The only reason I went with the 12th is because we would make that then 6 weeks from the May meeting.
Yeah. All right, cool. I'm not going to get too hung up about it. Okay, can I get a motion to accept the proposed meeting dates for 2025?
So moved.
I second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries unanimously. I should point out that this is traditionally the time when we vote to double our pay next year.
Yep. And I noticed that the mayor is sitting there, so he'll...
he can enforce it.
Yes, he can enforce the pay increase.
It's not an increase, it's a double.
Yeah.
Nothing. Oh, election of officers. Anybody want to say?
No way. Doug, you do a great job.
So you can do this one of two ways. You can, if there's a change for any office, you can do them individually. Or if somebody would like to make a motion that it remain the way that it currently is, you can make that motion. So you can do it one of two ways.
So currently, I'm the chairman.
I'm the vice chairman. I'm
the vice chairman. Who's the secretary? Sandra.
Yeah.
So does anybody want to... volunteers, we are pretty good with that.
Good.
All right. And can I get
a motion
to accept the current officers for next year?
So moved.
I second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Here's an answer.
Thank you, officers.
Executive session. None. One more motion.
Make a motion, will you adjourn?
I second it.
Yay.